Hello, educators and learners, and welcome to Homeroom with Sal, brought to you by Khan Academy. We're an educational technology nonprofit dedicated to bringing a world-class education to anyone, anywhere, and Sal is our founder. I'm not Sal Khan, I'm Kevin Dangor. I'm from the engineering team, and I'm here to introduce today's show. Since spring of 2020, Sal's been hosting a chat show on YouTube and Facebook Live called Homeroom with Sal, where he answers questions from our community and interviews notable folks from the world of education, technology, finance, entertainment, and more. We've taken some of our favorite conversations from that web show and turned them into a podcast. Without further ado, here's this week's podcast.
So with that, I'm excited to introduce Mala Sharma, VP and GM of Adobe Creative Cloud. Mala, great to see you.
It's great to see you too, Sal. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, there's a ton of stuff I want to talk to you about, ask you about. I know you care deeply about education. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. I want to learn about your journey. And of course, I want to talk about what we are now going to be doing together, Adobe and Khan Academy. But maybe a good place to start, just for people to understand context, what is the Adobe Creative Cloud and what does the VP and General Manager of Adobe Creative Cloud do?
So Adobe Creative Cloud is the creativity platform that anybody can use who has an idea to put out there in the world. We have professionals who use it. We have students. We have consumers like you and I who have an idea and want to have impact in the world. It has applications like Photoshop, Premiere Pro, InDesign, Illustrator, applications that work on the desktop, on your mobile phone, on the web. Adobe Spark is a part of Creative Cloud that is a web-based application. And not only does it have applications, it also has services integrated. So you can collaborate on Creative Cloud. You have content you can use. You have templates. You have fonts that you can bring into your creation. So think about anything you need to express an idea is available within Creative Cloud. And what I do at Adobe, I have the privilege of managing the product marketing organization and the education business. So I'm responsible for thinking about how do we get our products more available to our customers? How do we grow the business? How do we make them more accessible to users wherever they are, any part of the world, any platform that they are on? And I work with product teams, engineering teams, marketing teams, to get the product out there and available to our customers.
Yeah, and I've had a long relationship with many of those products. I use them now, but I you know, all the way back, I think it was as early as 1991 or 1992, when I was the art editor and layout editor for our school newspaper in New Orleans. under Miss Kennedy, who is one of the teachers that I always make a point of appreciating during Teacher Appreciation Week. She was our journalism and our English teacher. But that's when I first used what was now part of the Adobe Creative Cloud, but I used all of the various things in the Adobe suite. You know, I'm curious, how do you and how does Adobe, you know, there's a lot of areas where Adobe is used. Obviously, a lot of designers, creative professionals, et cetera, et cetera. What is the lens that y'all take on education and education in the context of supporting teachers especially?
Yeah, there's education is very important from a couple of perspectives. First of all, we believe that all of us as humans are innately creative. And giving everybody a voice is an important part of building self-worth, building great citizens in the world. And therefore, education is a conduit, is a very important vertical for us to get students access to our products so that they can tell their stories. And we have infinite examples of where students, when they're able to put these stories together, put a voice to their ideas, what it does to their self-confidence and what it does to student outcomes specifically. So a big part of our focus is getting the products into the hands of these students, making them work on platforms that students are on, whether they're on the web, whether they're on mobile devices, or they're in the lab, working in the lab. So it's about making the products work here in these different places, making it affordable for schools. Adobe Spark is free for students to use. Creative Cloud, which is over $600 a month, excuse me, a year product, is just $5 a year per student in K-12. So really, it's about making the products work as well as making them accessible through pricing. But the second area, Sal, is about the teachers. And again, it's great to be here with you during Teacher Appreciation Week, announcing this partnership, because teachers are where it makes, where this all happens. They are the ones who sort of, you know, help lead the students through the learning process and making them ready to bring creativity into the classroom is another really important piece of what Adobe does. We have a platform called Adobe Education Exchange. There's over 1 million teachers on that platform. They're sharing ideas with each other. There's project plans, there's lesson plans available for them, or how they can bring creativity into a math class or into a science class or a geography class. Because what that does is, one, it makes learning more interesting. It engages students, but most importantly, the teachers can assess what the student has actually comprehended and learned through what they create. So education to us is about making both of those things possible, which is putting the products in the hands of the students and preparing the teachers to teach creativity and bring creativity into the classroom.
And I definitely want to talk a lot more about this, especially what both Adobe and Khan Academy hope to do together. But before we go there, I do want to focus a little bit on your story. That's one of the interesting things about these conversations. I always love to learn how people got to where they're going. We have a lot of young people who are watching this, a lot of parents who are watching this. So when you were young in elementary school, middle school, did you say, I, Mala Sharma, am going to be a VP and GM of Adobe Creative Cloud? What did you think you were going to do? Maybe it was that.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you ask my mom, she probably thought I was up to no good. I was a very, very naughty student and was always, you know, the person who was trying to distract the teacher in the classroom and distract the students in the classroom.
I'm curious how naughty you were.
I'm sorry.
Do you remember what you did?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if the parents or the teachers would appreciate this, but I used to be the student who would sit at the back of the classroom and, you know, throw little aeroplanes. This is what we did in India. We made aeroplanes with, you know, paper, and we threw it out in front of the classrooms. I would chew chalk and then, you know, throw chalk at different students. I was really bad.
Chew chalk. That's a new one. I didn't know that that's a thing that you
could. Oh, my God. Yes, I was a very naughty kid. But at some point, sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I was going to say, you know, but it, clearly you evolved. You were going to say it, but at some point, please keep going.
Yes, at some point, I think I realized that it was important for me to pay attention to learning. And I think my mother being a school teacher was part of that. Really, I think the way I'd sum it up, Sal, it's a sequence of events that I didn't expect would happen, but happened. But I think the learning that I had from my teachers, from my parents, from the elders around me, was to be ready to embrace them and be prepared for them and be able to, not just embrace them from the standpoint of accept what happened, but embrace them and take them forward. There's been lots of ups and downs in my journey to get to here, but what's been consistent is being confident, having a deep sense of self-worth and a deep sense of confidence that if somebody presents something to me, I can embrace it. And I think that comes from the learning and the teachers around me and all the examples that were around me that gave me that confidence.
Yeah, so I mean, going back to your original example, I mean, your mother was a teacher and you still, it sounds like, at a young age were maybe not the most obedient child, at least in the classroom. Do you remember when it kind of clicked in you? Was there a particular moment? I clearly, your mother is a teacher who played a big role in your life, if we're thinking about Teacher Appreciation Week. But were there moments in your education where you started to say, wow, this is really interesting, I'm not passionate about this, or this person is really invested in me?
Yeah, I think where What my mom did for us was, it was not just about what we learned in the classroom, but she also encouraged us to do, you know, different kinds of learning. So she put us into theater. I was on stage at an early stage. I was learning Indian classical music. I was learning rowing and a variety of different experiences that taught me consistently that when I practiced and when I learned from people who knew more than me and who were better than me, and I observed what they did, that I was able to incorporate that learning into whatever that I was practicing. And I think it was the extracurricular activities and the interest that those teachers and those mentors took in me that helped me get better. And I was able to apply that into the classroom as well. And I think from a teacher standpoint, when it came to, you know, just regular studies, it was a biology teacher who I had in, I think, seventh grade. She really made learning incredibly interesting. And this is, again, you know, many, many years back in India, in a government school, where I was learning, and we had the resources were limited, but the teacher made it interesting by making us, you know, take walks, helping students get together in groups and have conversations about the different plants we saw, the different insects we saw, you know, bringing art by having us draw what we were seeing. And I think all of that and the interest that she took in making it fun and making it non-monotonous and surprising is what engaged me and helped me get more interested in learning. And then when I started seeing the results of what I was doing, I think, you know, got me more serious about continuing to do my studies.
And I'm always curious because, you know, when I remember when I was in, especially in high school and even in college, you see people whose careers, their mid-career, they've kind of gotten to impressive places and you're like, what is the path? How did they figure that out? That they knew what they were doing. I clearly didn't know what I was doing. But when, what did you think you were going to do? When did you kind of find your direction? Did you know you were going to go into industry, go into marketing? Did you think you were going to do something else? And when did you figure that out?
Yeah, so when I was in school, as I said, I was in theater. My first dream was to actually take acting professionally. And I was in theater through school, through college. But then my parents didn't think that was a good choice. My next choice was to join the Indian Navy because my father was, he's a war hero and I really admired him. And I was like, I want to go, you know, represent my country and be patriotic. But he then discouraged me from doing that because at that time, women didn't get great opportunities in the Indian Navy. You were typically stuck behind a desk, as opposed to what I wanted to do was be on the front. So that's what I wanted to do. When neither of those worked out at that time, at my age or my batch at the time, everybody was studying to go abroad. And I was like, no, I don't want to go abroad. I want to, you know, work for my country. And I decided to do my master's in business because I didn't want to do science because it looked like science was too hard and people studied too much. So I kind of made the choices out of convenience, really, and ended up doing my MBA. And then after that, life just happened. You know, I think ultimately, Sal, if I were to look back on what's consistent is what you learn, not just in school, but what values get instilled in you. And I think what's helped me through and sort of guided me through all the ups and downs, and I've had plenty of downs as well, is really sort of hanging on to the values that matter. And for me, it's about doing what's right, not what's good. It's about being consistent and thought, word, and action. And it's those kinds of values that see you through. And I think it's so important, again, teachers, parents play such an important role in not just teaching us the studies that we'd have to do, but also demonstrating and being the examples for us when it comes to values.
You know, I'm curious, I did not know this background of yours, that you were essentially the theater kid turned corporate leader. and, you know, it's funny, a lot of folks when I was in college, I took a theater class just on a whim, just thinking it would be a nice change of pace. And I thought it was transformational. And when I really think about it, it affects how I even interact with people, how I communicate, how aware I am of my own being. What was the effect of theater? And obviously, we're here to talk about creativity. There's a lot of creativity in theater. How has that background, I think, given you some superpowers? And, you know, most of the folks who are corporate leaders in Silicon Valley, especially if I were stereotypically say, you know, coming from South Asia, they were probably engineering majors, you know, come out here, start their life as a software engineer, and then move up through management. But you have a very, very different background. How has that either helped or hurt you?
I think the way it's helped me couple of things that come to mind. One is the recognition that you are, you know, you alone are not what makes that play happen. There's you, there's the person who pulls the curtain, there's the light, there's, you know, there's the person behind the camera, there's a team that's involved, and everybody has to work in sync. The production is great for the audience only when everybody is operating together, on time, on cue, and all of that takes an incredible amount of practice, an incredible amount of collaboration, an incredible clarity on what the outcome of the play needs to be. And that's what work is about. The second thing that I learned is improvisation, because oftentimes the person you're, you know, working with, you might be interacting with, they might forget their dialogue. You might forget your dialogue. And being able to, in the moment, you know, sort of fill the gaps and let the story continue. And the third area, I think, is just the confidence, right, of being in front of an audience. And that's what business is about. Business is about collaboration. It's about innovating. It's about creative ideas. And it's about selling those ideas confidently through storytelling. And so I do think that it's been something that's helped me, and including my fighter spirit. Right, is that's where risk-taking and planning, I think, was an important thing that I really admired about what my dad did. And that's something I've found I've incorporated into my work, which is really being thoughtful about what the strategy for winning needs to be, what the operational efficiency and operational cadence needs to be, all of those skills that you need in business.
You know, I've never made the connection before, but hearing you describe it, you're so right. I never, you know, I feel like theater should be part of any business program now, because you're absolutely right. It's a clear goal, a lot of coordination, but as soon as you're out there, some new stuff might happen and you're going to have to improvise. And you know, it reminds me, I actually was for half a year in college on the improv comedy troupe. And we used to have to go to college campuses. And you know, you just go on stage with no planning. And you know, people throw out words and scenarios, and I have never gone through more stressful thing in my life than being on an improv comedy team. But it also just, you know, once you go through that, you're like, well, nothing else in life is going to surprise me much. But I'd never fully drawn the parallels. I'm going to make sure my kids get a little bit more drama, organized drama. I think I'm already providing some unorganized drama for them, but organized drama in their lives. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about this partnership. And obviously, I'm very excited about it. But I'd love to hear from your point of view. What excites you? Well, you know, and I'd love to hear in your own words what is the motivation for partnering with Khan Academy, and what do you hope we're able to do together?
Yeah. So this is an amazing opportunity, and Sal, we are so proud and honored to be the creativity partner for Khan Academy. As I said earlier, for Adobe, enabling creativity for everyone is our mission. We believe every human is innately creative, and giving them a voice is part of our mission. And the fact that, you know, your platform serves many millions, I believe it's over 100 million students globally, and the focus of your work has been in the STEM area. What I'm excited about, what Adobe is excited about, is giving all of these kids through the classroom access to tools where they can express themselves creatively. Because what we've seen happen, Sal, and there's many, many examples, including a personal example I had when I was volunteering in India with Teach for India, where kids who'd never seen technology had never interacted with Adobe tools. When they were given access to this, what it changed for them in terms of not just the learning experience, but what it did for them as in confidence is what we are excited about. And it's not just sort of the storytelling aspect of it. We know that future hiring managers, they value creativity in employees. We know that the World Economic Forum, Bloomberg, LinkedIn, their research has said that creativity is a skill that most hiring managers are looking for. So the ramifications of bringing creativity to your platform and the lives it can impact is incredibly thrilling and so important, especially in today's time where kids are, you know, their entire education experience has been upended because of COVID.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, from my point of view, when we, Khan Academy's mission as a not-for-profit is free world-class education for anyone, anywhere. And education has a lot of dimensions to it. There's the cognitive element of it. There's the socialization element of it. There's the credentialing side of it. But even if you talk about the cognitive side of it, a lot of folks listening know Bloom's cognitive taxonomy. It's usually drawn as a pyramid where the base is, you know, remembering. It's the most rote type of work you do. Then you go into skills, procedures. And then as you get to higher up the pyramid, you're getting into synthesis, application. At the very top is create. And, you know, I'm a big believer that you need the whole pyramid. That, you know, if you just do one part without the other, you're selling yourself short. But the reason why I believe Bloom set it up as a pyramid is that they do, to many degrees, build on each other. Not always, but many times build. And Khan Academy has historically focused on, I would say, that core foundational piece of the pyramid, more of the skill fluency, the et cetera. But there's always the desire, well, for real education, we got to make sure kids get the top of the pyramid as well. Mm-hmm. And so for us to be able to be so complementary, where the students and teachers who are already leveraging Khan Academy, and hopefully many more, to make sure they have fluency in their mathematics and their sciences, have that content knowledge, also have world-class tools to apply that in really thoughtful ways, and that they complement each other. So, you know, this is this announcement we're making this week is very exciting. And actually, I'll cue this video that I think we've put together that describes the program, and I think we can comment on it as it's playing as well.
Teach creativity with Adobe and Khan Academy, a powerful new partnership, bringing together creative tools and content knowledge to empower thousands of teachers and millions of students worldwide.
It's a beautiful blend of informative and engaging content.
Get started today by registering for our brand new self-paced course, available for free on the Adobe Education Exchange. Take this course and earn up to 20 hours of professional development credit, and maybe even a visit from Sal Khan himself, founder of Khan Academy. Register by May 17th and share a tweet tagging an educator who inspires you with the hashtag AdobeConCreativity for the chance to win an Adobe Creativity Kit. Want to surprise your students with the voice Khan Academy is best known for? Yes, we are talking about a virtual visit to your classroom from Sal Khan.
That's cool. Share you're doing that
about
now.
How you have or plan to infuse creativity into your classes. Submit your entry by May 17th, and you could win one of 5 virtual classroom visits from Sal Khan. Embrace creativity in powerful new ways with Adobe and Khan Academy. Sign up to the course and learn how to get started now.
I hope it's an incentive for people to be their classroom to be disrupted by me.
So much fun. The course that we've designed, it's specifically designed for Khan teachers. We built this along with your team, Sal, and the courses are specifically designed to be used like creativity and math, creativity and social studies, creativity and science. And, you know, I know recently there's a young woman called Hilary Andeles who was part of your, I think it's called the Junior
Breakthrough Challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. She's somebody Adobe is very familiar with. When we got to know her a few years ago when she was in her teens. And as you know, she is, a STEM enthusiast. And she had a classmate who was very creative, and she decided as a young teen that, you know, why can't I be creative? and she started teaching herself Photoshop and Illustrator just for fun. And unfortunately, while she was a little kid, she lived in Philippines. There was this really big typhoon that hit Philippines in her town. It was called Typhoon Yolanda, and many people lost their lives, and there was a lot of damage. And what she realized that the communication that was put together to help people understand what the impact of the typhoon would be was just not impactful enough. And that's when she made a commitment to herself and has done some amazing work to really take science concepts and make them more accessible and understandable through creative communication. And she's done this amazing work, created this amazing video. And then, of course, she got awarded the prize through the
exactly
challenge.
What number is this?
Oh, and she goes, yeah.
She says it's 6. She says it's 9. So who's
yeah, right? I know. Hillary's and quite impressive.
Amazing woman, and now she's in MIT thanks to the scholarship she got.
They just saw it and added from different reference frames. Know what exactly are reference frames?
I think we can stop the video.
Yeah, she is so inspiring. But this is a great example, and I hope that the teachers on your platform can, you know, take advantage of these lessons plans. There's hundreds of lessons plans. There's projects. There's tests. That they can be bringing into the classroom to inspire these kids to communicate and tell these stories in an impactful way, making these concepts that can sometimes seem obtuse more accessible and have an impact.
No, Hillary's great. I mean, all the Breakthrough Junior Challenge winners, it's a very impressive a set of, you know, they get $250,000 for college. They get, their teacher gets $50,000. And then they get a $50,000 or $100,000 science lab for the school. It's done by the Breakthrough Prizes, and it's really a brainchild of Yuri Milner and several other folks out here in Silicon Valley. But yeah, it's incredible. I'm privileged to be part of the process as one of the judges, and obviously we get the word out to the broader Khan Academy community. But yeah, and to your point, Hillary shows that, you know, a lot of people think somehow that STEM and creativity don't go together. In fact, it's the exact opposite. I always say, you know, the factoring of polynomial is those are giving you the toolkit so that you can unlock your creativity in STEM.
Yes.
That isn't, that's like saying that learning to mix paint is painting. No, that unlocks your capability to then become a painter. And you see someone like Hillary shows that in spades and shows the importance of this type of work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm super excited about what your teachers can make possible for the kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mala, all these conversations go much faster than I ever expect. Time flies when you're having fun. But, you know, I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you for this partnership between Adobe and Khan Academy. I really do think it's going to unlock hopefully many millions of Hillary and Dalias around the world to benefit all of us and be just more creative in the world, which I think just makes the world more interesting. Any final thoughts for all of the parents and students and teachers listening?
I would just say, let your kids express themselves in the way that they want to, and know that the tools are just a means to get their ideas out. And creativity is equally important as the science and the math that they're learning, because that ultimately is how they will be able to have impact, is by bringing their ideas out into the world, sharing them with others, and having impact. So thank you.
Love that. Thank you so much, Mala. And I couldn't agree with you more. If you don't have that creativity side, then really all of the skill level is to some degree all for naught. Like everything it needs to be in service to creativity. And we're so excited about this partnership. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
If you want to hear more conversations with Sal, subscribe to this podcast and tell a friend. If you want to support the work we do here at Khan Academy, visit khanacademy.org/donate. We're a nonprofit, and we appreciate your financial support in making sure that our materials can reach as many learners as possible, especially during this moment of COVID lockdowns. That's khanacademy.org/donate. That's our podcast, folks. Your host is Sal Khan. This show is produced by my wonderful Khan Academy coworkers, Stephanie Yamkovenko, Dan Tu, Irene Wang, Jenna Herzog, Anthony Nelson, Felipe Escamilla, Irene Chen, Ken Jones, Fail Lundberg, David Reinstrom, and me, Kevin Dangor. Our intro theme is Time Flux by Revolution Void. Our outro theme is Onward by Poddington Bear.